Welcome everyone to the podcast. A big question we want to explore today is, will arm risk RISC-V? I'm your host, Junko Yoshida, co-founder and editor-in-chief of the Ojo Yoshida Report. To help answer this question is Frankwell Lin, CEO of Andes Technology. Hi, Frank.
Junko, how are you?
Yeah, long time no see. I was reading your website and realized, okay, V3 is apparently very successful. It's actually built on your legacy, right? Now,
right.
What about V5?
Our development went to V3, and we made a decision to go for RISC-V. So V5 means the Andes RISC-V version. Its majority is RISC-V.
Okay.
With certain Andes extensions. Why RISC-V? Mm-hmm. We started with our proprietary architectural development in the year 2005. You have to know that Andes proprietary architecture is closed loop. Where in the year 2010, mm-hmm. UC Berkeley made a decision to develop a RISC-V and started to promote it in the year 2014. By year 2014 and 2015, mm-hmm. we made a decision to make that RISC-V is our future roadmap. Because two reasons. We watched over the technology side. The technical side of RISC-V is so much similar to our V3.
Okay.
So we don't spend much effort. We can switch over. The second point is that RISC-V already implied that they would make open source of RISC-V instruction sets. If we stay with our Andes proprietary architecture, there will be impact. Because if our camp is a closed loop,
yes,
RISC-V camp is open source loop,
yep.
So the alliances, the ally of the RISC-V will be so huge, so strong.
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of fighting with each other,
yep,
we decided to move on.
Yeah.
To join it.
Yeah.
As you can see today, in fact, we keep both of them. And we managed to keep them because in terms of R&D resources, today, 95% of our resources are in RISC-V.
Okay.
Product development.
Right.
So we have a few minor resources still kept for maintaining our V3 product lines.
Yep.
But only with those little bit effort, we can maintain the design,
yeah,
production, technical service, as well as customers production. So
right.
The finance contribution is so obvious that V3 contributed the majority of royalty.
Yeah,
which, you know, in turn, help Andes to compete with our competitors,
yep. Yep.
And the competitors.
I see.
When I say competitors, that means people like Arm,
yep,
like MIPS before.
Yep. Yeah.
When I say competitors, that means Sci-Fi,
yeah,
and MIPS today.
Yeah.
Because in RISC-V camp, we cooperate with each other,
yep.
And we compete with each other.
Yeah.
revenue analysis by payment model. So for 2021, 60% of all revenue came from license fee.
Yep.
28% from royalty.
Yep.
9% from maintenance.
Yep.
And 3% from custom computing.
I see.
Now, there are certain percentage in the 60% and 9% were from V3, right?
Yeah.
So in another page, we would analyze the total risk-level contribution. Here we are.
Yeah.
I made a little bit mistake, which is, 65 to 64. The correct number is 64%.
Gotcha.
No. Wait. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Q1 to Q4. That's whole year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the number is here. 64% were from risk five, and 36% from V3 for last year.
I see. You actually took a very smart approach. Rather than getting rid of V3, rather than just focusing risk five, but by bringing in risk five, keeping the legacy V3, you actually had the best of the both worlds. In other words, that you kept picking up new licensing fee. Meanwhile, you keep collecting royalties. I'm assuming most of the royalties are coming from V3. Is that correct?
Yes. We went to IPO in the year 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we knew we have to make the best benefit for our stock shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to try to reach success in both technical and finance operations.
Yeah.
So we has no need to give up V3 so fast.
Yeah.
In fact, I personally believe for a successful CPU product line, for IP, CPU IP product, the life cycle can be as long as 25 to 30 years. Well, you see, we started with 2005.
Yes.
By 2007.
Yeah.
N13 was announced.
Yeah.
So it's been 15 years. So
already. Right.
So it's not that not difficult to reach 25 years. It's another 10 years. And I strongly believe by year 10 years from now, we still collect a royalty for N13.
Yeah. What is the advantage? A lot of people talk about edge AI these days, Frank. And if the edge AI is going to be the trend, now, what's the point of anybody who might have been already in the ARM community to add something based on the RISC-V core to add AI? I mean, what's the point of doing that? What's the advantage?
I would say freedom. The freedom of choose the architecture, the right of that freedom is now given back to designer.
Okay.
If ARM is the only choice, you can only use ARM core, and use whatever they give you. With that, the innovation is much less. So RISC-V comes to help the world to make it stronger in having the freedom to do the variety design.
So
that the designer can do innovation as long as they can. Okay.
Mm.
Engineer like to add the instruction.
yeah.
to his system, because he has domain knowledge. He has, for example, 10, 20 years working on one kind of application.
Yeah.
So he accumulated so many, so much hardware knowledge and software knowledge that he can turn that to hardware or yeah. software or
yeah.
instruction set to make the system better, right?
Yeah, yeah. To me, that one of the contributions
yes, exactly.
I have is this tool to make the addition of extension easier. What's the name of the tool?
The name of the tool is a Copilot.
Yeah. So hang on. Are there other companies like CodeSip or I mean there are a lot of other, you know, RISC-V related companies out there. Don't they make these tools? I mean, I thought that there's surely that if that is the advantage of RISC-V, you know, allowing the engineers to have freedom, you would think that such tools as adding extension must be prevalent, but that's not the case?
They do. The difference is the degree of convenience. In Indies, since we started the development in V3 stage,
yeah.
So we migrate that tool to RISC-V.
Yep.
Which means that we have several years competition age. Our tool is more advanced and more automotive, automatic.
Yeah.
You can see that as a kind of an EDA tool.
I see. Got it.
So the other may only,
just started now.
Started or harder to use. The degree of automation is not that high.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you this, though. You said that the Andes actually started making that kind of tool when you already launched the V3. Why did you make that tool? Because V3 was also architected to allow engineers to add extensions?
Yes. Yeah.
Ah, that's a difference. Because usually, unless you have an architectural license, nobody's allowed to add extensions, right?
Right, right. But in V3, we allow engineer to do that. We provide the Copilot in V3.
Okay.
So the superiority of V3 is still there that give us the almost a seamless migration from V3 to RISC-V.
I see.
Even the software developing platform, we call it the AndySight. We also nearly seamlessly migrate from V3 to V5. Somehow there's a certain versions that can run over V3 together with V5. You know what? Back to what we just said for a heterogeneous.
Right. Oh, I see. You
customer
can have V3.
Customer is asking whether they can develop a chip, with ARM's core, with Andes core, and
yeah.
your tool can support that.
Yeah.
And we say, okay, give us some time for development.
Yeah.
And we are doing it. We already provided some. Beta customers for those kind of feature.
That feature is the combining or adding.
Put them together.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Put them together
but,
in the same chip.
ARM core and Andes core together in
yeah.
the chip. Okay.
Gotcha.
And the design platform have to support this kind of.
Gotcha.
Mindset. Yeah. And we believe that for next decade and on, x86, RISC-V, and ARM will be the three major industrial standards.
Yeah, yeah.
So personally, I would guess that sooner or later, there will be a chip aiming for designing x86, ARM, and NDIS core in a chip.
I certainly understand that the RISC-V core is very useful for a lot of embedded applications, but you seem to imply in some of the press releases I have going through on your website, you seem to imply that you actually have a big design win, probably plural, with the fan companies on the data centers using your RISC-V CPU.
Yes.
IPs, yes. Right?
Yeah, I cannot disclose name, but it is from fan.
Okay. And these are used in data centers, or what are they?
Including but not limited.
Ah. Okay.
What we can say for emerging application. Except PC, except mobile phone, mainline.
Yeah.
Other application, they are all possible.
Wow.
Everything and anything.
Right.
Right? So including data center, but also include the microcontroller and the IoT, AIoT.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Got it. I also found it very interesting that in your announcement about the ASIL, the automotive application, right? And
right.
You worked with the German, I think it's a certification company that
yeah, yeah,
you have been
yeah,
certified
right.
for. That's actually very, you're the first, right? You're doing that on the RISC-V, is that correct?
Yeah, that's a RISC-V. We are going to launch it within 1 quarter. Hopefully, it is the first time we launch automotive grade CPU IP. Although we had customers designing our core in automotive application for more than 10 years now. But at that time, they simply use our commercial grade CPU IP.
Right.
Today, they still apply commercial grade CPU IP to various application in automotive.
Yeah.
However, this is the first time we will launch the automotive grade, which we call it ISO 26262 certified SCOB, the B grade SCO, to make Andes be able to develop kind of automotive grade CPU IP. Mm-hmm. We have to went through a certification earlier for our developing flow and SOPs, design systems.
Yeah, yeah.
For that, from A to D, A, B, C, D, we all went through. Or say we were qualified to develop, no matter it's a B or D, SL products. For this first automotive grade CPU, N25F-SE, we choose to develop it in SLB.
You mentioned that you're certified, is that a design flow? You're certified to design from ASIL A to D. What do you call it? That's a design system or what's the name?
Yeah, you can call it the design system or product development flow.
Okay. Does that mean, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the more I cover the automotive industry, I come across a lot of OEMs, whether it's a Volkswagen, Ford, or GM, that the OEMs themselves are interested in designing their own chips. Can I infer that some of the, not naming names, but the automotive OEMs are interested in using RISC-V CPU core to design their own automotive chips?
Allow me to tell you the answer is positive, definitely, but I cannot disclose name.
Got it. Okay.
100% right. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Very good. Very good. But where do you think, I mean, you know, I asked this question to Calista once, and then she said that she's not sure. You know, if you look at the large RISC-V market, right, and how much percentage of them is simply, well, it's not so simple, but simply embedded application versus RISC-V CPU application?
Well, for Andes, it's always embedded.
Yeah.
Right? Because to talk about embedded, there's two ways to talk about it. Because okay. Our business model is CPU IP.
Yeah.
So we license our core to a customer, no matter it's a design house or system house or even a social media company.
Yeah.
If they have a design team, they put our core in their SoC. Yeah. So we call it embedded.
Yeah, okay.
But for Calista,
yeah.
She has difficulty to answer this question because she doesn't only represent Andes.
Ah.
She covers a lot.
Yeah.
Research organization, university.
Ah.
CPU IP house like Andes, Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
Design service company, as well as a chip company.
Yeah.
Like a Microchip or others.
Yeah.
Even NVIDIA is
right.
NVIDIA, Qualcomm, they are also RISC-V company. So for them, maybe it's not named as an embedded chip. It's simply a chip. Because they might do their own RISC-V core development. So for them, it's their proprietary core. So I would say for Calista, it is true she has difficulty to answer you with this question.
Okay.
Now, let me provide another perspective.
Please.
The third perspective comes from the terminology definition.
Okay.
For example, for a design center, people will tell you, okay, the core designed in this chip is not an embedded core.
Okay.
So if you are familiar with ARM's core,
yeah,
you know they have an A series, R series, and M series.
Yep.
Okay. Cortex A, Cortex R, Cortex M.
Yeah.
For those data center guy, they only recognize that ARM M series core, Cortex M series, this kind of a core is embedded core.
Yeah.
While the A series is not an embedded core. So that is relating to the definition. This is my third.
So if it's not embedded, how do they explain it? How do you call it?
Well, we call it the application processor.
Right.
And then we also have that kind of market segment.
I see. Okay.
So people use this term, they call it the deeply embedded.
Yeah.
Or smaller core.
Yeah.
Which is an embedded core. But if it comes to the level that can be used as the central core, for example, mobile phone, right?
Yeah.
In ARM's Cortex A series, A 33, 35, 53, 55, 57, 72, 76, all those core, they can run Linux. They can run Google's Enjoy, right?
Right.
For those, they call it the application processor.
I see.
They don't call it embedded processor.
I see. Yeah. Well, that was the definition that I was thinking of. I mean, I was.
Okay. Yeah. So you are trying to reach
to separate the application processor versus deeply embedded. So if that is the definition, Frank, what would be the percentage?
I would say that's cultural of the commercial. I mean, people gather together and it's easier for them to discuss.
Right, right. But so what would be the percentage? What would be the, if I have to divide, like 80% of them are deeply embedded and 20% would be the application processor?
Well, depends on which scope you are talking about. Are you talking about the shipping quantity or market revenue?
Shipping quantity.
If shipping quantity, yes, embedded core may share 70-80% of the total quantity.
And that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, but if you are talking about revenue, it's different. You know, for example, like this kind of a triangle.
Yeah.
Triangle, market segment in the bottom, the embedded core.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the quantity, it's a 80%, only very small top.
I see.
For those application processor. However, if you are talking about the revenue, then, it's another story.
Yeah, it's another story. What would that be if you divide it by revenue? How would that number flip, the percent ratio flip?
I would say in the past, when there's only Intel and ARM, the application processor are even larger.
Yeah.
But today, maybe balance.
Yeah. Okay.
Equal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. I think that shows sort of the movement of the market. I mean, so as we were talking about in the very beginning, you know, we used to think of the market as one CPU, one system, kind of the paradigm. Now you're talking about several cores in one SoC or heterogeneous integration. We're talking about much more complex systems where we can't just compare, you know, one CPU versus another. That's what you're saying. It's a very complex world that we're talking about. Yeah.
It will be.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. So going forward, what would be your next big thing that you have to announce, so you're thinking about rolling out? What are the direction? Maybe you can talk about the not the specific products which you haven't announced, but tell me that where your head is.
Yes. I said in one quarter we will launch the first automotive grade CPU, N25F-SE. Okay, so we are planning a kind of a promotion roadshow in several geographical areas. Mm-hmm. Besides, we have a team now doing promotion in Europe. Mm-hmm. Due to a pandemic, it's been long. We don't have a business travel in Europe, but now we restarted. We are going to promote more multi-core CPU mm-hmm. in our AX45MP series. Then we also have a new update for our vector processor, NX27V, mm-hmm. because the spec of RISC-V vector extension,
yep.
we call it RVV, was ratified not long ago. So the updated specification will be adopted and yep. Put in the design
yep.
and the release.
Okay. What is the name of the, you mentioned, so auto grade CPU, you said in one quarter. Are we talking about the third quarter of this year or second quarter of this year?
It will be a third quarter.
Third quarter, okay.
I mean, now, from today within 3 months.
Okay. Now, as for the second thing that you mentioned, you said that it's on a CPU core, the 45MP series you mentioned?
Yeah. Okay. 25F-SE and AX45MP and NX27B. Okay.
All right. So that's it. But that's in a nutshell, that's a CPU core.
They are all CPU core.
Right. So what's so different about that? I mean, you rattled off all those.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Let me elaborate more.
Yeah.
For X45MP,
yeah.
we used to promote one core, two core, and four core.
Okay.
By end of this year, we are going, or say fourth quarter, we will promote 8-core.
Ah, 8-core. Okay, 8-core CPU.
Right.
Gotcha. All
and
right.
For the third one, we have two, N27V and NX27V.
Mm-hmm.
They will be updated with version 1.0. Ratify the RVV specification.
What is RVV?
RISC-V vector.
And this vector ratification is very important because this extension would allow RISC-V to play in the GPU field, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
AI field.
Okay. AI. Okay. Got it. Very good. No, this is this is very informative. I really enjoy talking to you, Frank.
Yeah, in the future, if necessary, Jonah still can help us
change.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely get together. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Thank you.